This week's podcast is brought to you by Facial Roots. It doesn't matter if you're chopping wood or just watching Netflix, our men's product will make you look good no matter what you're doing. All of our products are made right here in Canada. They're vegan, biodegradable, and they're never tested on animals. Being manly is more than just looking and smelling good. It's about doing what's right. Stay tuned for the official release.
In this podcast, I sit down with Jamie Mason. Jamie is a successful entrepreneur, philanthropist, and former pro athlete. He specializes in delivering powerful keynote speeches to businesses and athletic teams on how to win physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. We speak about how he quit his six-figure job to devote himself to his coaching, mentoring business. Simply put, he has an intense desire to help people fulfill their destiny in life, help them unlock their potential, and just become a better version of themselves. We also speak in depth about moral obligations and how to serve others. You can find me, Nicolas Stache, on social media. So like my Facebook page, follow me on Instagram. All the previous episodes are available at rjlp.net/episodes. You can also find the Relax Just Love podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, and Stitcher. So make sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite platform so that you're notified when new episodes are released. Peace!
Hey, what's going on, guys? I am sitting with Jamie Mason. What's going on, man?
Nothing too much, man. Just living the dream.
Living the dream. So tell us, who the hell are you?
Oh, man. who am I? I'm a winner. I don't know. I'm not an accountant. You know, I don't have a degree. I would just consider myself a winner.
A winner.
Yeah.
So you're winning at life?
I would say so. You know, I think you can always upgrade. You can always do better, right? But having gone through some struggle, in the past, just mentally, even physically as well, even in my marriage, having some struggles financially, I think starting to put all the pieces of the puzzle together because, for me, if you've got a lot of money, but your body or your marriage is no good, you're not successful. You're not a winner. And if you've got, let's say you've got a great marriage, but your body's not doing very well or your bank account's not doing very well and you're struggling, well, you're also not a winner. You're not successful. It's putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually, to live a happy, successful life.
So to put this into context, you used to compete as a motocross professional?
I did, yes. So I used to race motocross all over, Eastern Canada, New York. I used to go down to the States to train as well in the off season. Had my pro license for a little under 10 years, I guess. Was on salary with a small team to race, and it was a huge part of my life. And still have bikes, still ride with my buddies. Love it a lot, but it's a lot of fun, man. It was a good time. Yeah.
So you were saying to me when we spoke last that you used to have a six-figure job. You quit everything back at the end of 2020 mm-hmm. in order to start your own business, and your own business is public speaking, right?
It is one of them. I have three. So my heart passion is, my coaching business, which is Jamie Mason Coaching.
Did you just plug yourself?
Yeah. Gotta throw that in there.
Yeah. So say that again. So because I cut you off, repeat it again.
It's all good. So no, my heart passion is my coaching business. I just love people so much. And that's really what was, how I was able to quit my day job and, do what I'm doing now was the fact that I'm just so I'm so connected with my vision and I'm so emotionally invested with where I'm going that there's nothing that can stop me. And it took a long time to get here. I had to lay a lot of foundation. But my heart is coaching. I also have a water wastewater consulting business that I'm pushing ahead. And then my wife and I also invest in real estate on the side as well. So
how does public speaking fit into all of this?
So public speaking, for me, it's amazing. I'm not gonna lie. When you've got a crowd of people that are looking, you know, for you for something, and you're just laying your heart on the line. I'm a big believer in congruency, and you know, anything that I say or anything that I'm like coaching my clients on, I do myself, because I feel like you cannot meet people, you know, on a level that you haven't met yourself. And I think it's easy for me to connect with people like the way you and I connected, even on our first chat. You know, I think it's easy to connect with people because, you know, I've met myself on some deeper levels, right? Like having gone through, you know, suicidal thoughts and having a struggling marriage and struggling financially and struggling physically. Like I didn't want that for myself. And so having built myself, you know, digging myself out of those holes and building the life that I wanted, I felt like I had something like, you know what, like if I have these struggles, then there's got to be somebody else that are having these similar struggles. And, you know, I just believe that, you know, God's put a gift on the inside of people. And as I started to cultivate that gift, it just became so strong in me. Like I've got a message and I got to get it out. And don't get me wrong, my first speech was, it was all over the place. Like I'm, you know, squirrel, you know, it was everywhere. But at the end of the day, I was just pouring my heart to people and they connected with me. It was amazing. And it's just continuing to grow. It's a little bit of a struggle now with COVID, but we're making it work.
I think you touched on something that's extremely important. And a lot of us, and I don't consider myself in there, but I'll speak as general rule, like I'm speaking for everybody. I think most people don't know what their passions are. They don't know what they're passionate about, or they struggle to try to make it something that they do on a daily basis. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we're having right now is we are a bunch of zombies, if I can use that word, where we have no guidance. We don't have anybody to guide us, and we don't even know what our passions are. And we're expected to live a life and be happy. That makes for a very challenging life for most people. And medication is not the way to deal with depression.
No. How many people do you know that are on depression medication and are still depressed?
You know, I don't surround. That's going to be bad what I'm going to say, but I have none of those people around me.
Yeah, I can see that. You surround your people with that you're like, right?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I'm so committed to both my day-to-day job and what I do outside of work that I don't even have time to. I don't maintain a lot of the relationships that I have are people that I speak to on a daily basis. The people outside that circle, I will speak to anyone, but it's hard to manage relationships with those people because so busy, just always have something. And unless you're part of those plans, unfortunately, I surround myself with people that are like-minded. Mm-hmm. So they don't have those struggles, or if they do, they have it under control where they know what to do to get better. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think it is up to people like you and I to help people that are struggling. If you were able to do it for yourself, I think it is your responsibility to teach others, or at least help others, or be there for others to help 100%. Them with their struggles. Well, sorry, to help them help themselves with their struggles.
In my opinion, it's your moral obligation. You know, regardless, you know.
Oh, morals. Oh, this is where we're going. I like it.
I break everything in life down as a service. It doesn't matter what it is, you know, like the computer that we're talking on, you know, the house that we live in, clothes, every single light thing in life is a service. And I think that when you get passionately behind whatever it is that God's called you to be, or whatever that gift is in your heart, I believe that like it is your moral obligation to pursue that service in other people. Because here's the thing is, you know, whatever has been placed on the inside of your heart, that's not for you. That's for other people. Right?
I agree.
And so, you know, it was a bit of an, I struggled for a long time because I wasn't operating in what I felt was my God-given gift, you know, and it's funny, I was talking to my wife about this, you know, last weekend. I felt like if I stepped into my gift and I failed, I would be the ultimate failure. But, you know, you're going to trip, you're going to fall, but there's always going to be failure. There's always going to be rejection. You have to blow past that and just keep moving towards what you've been called to be, regardless of, you know, there are people, you know, people are always going to talk bad about you. You can do, you know, be rainbows and butterflies and people are going to talk bad about you, right? But in my opinion, you know, if people aren't talking about you, then you're not relevant. And so, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, my mission in life is to connect people with a deeper version of themselves. It's to connect themselves with where they're going, because if you don't live your dream, you're going to live somebody else's. And it's you, like you said, but being walking zombies is, you know, the Bible says, you know, where there's lack of vision, the people perish. Without vision, the people perish. And it's so true, because, you know, when you don't have your own vision and you're not cultivating your own dreams and desires, then it life's depressing. Like I couldn't get out from underneath depression and sadness and worry, anxiety and fear, because I wasn't living authentically me. I was living to please other people. And I just got tired of that life. And now I'm unapologetically me, I guess.
Well, there's something that you touched that I find very interesting. I think it's, you know, obviously, you know, Joe Rogan, but you know, Jordan Peterson, the psychologist.
I do catch some of his stuff here and there. Yeah.
So he was having a podcast with him and they were discussing how you need to concentrate on only a specific amount of people. So I think it's them that was breaking down. So you take 100% of people, there's 33% of people that are going to hate you no matter what you do. There's nothing you can do about changing their mind. They just don't like you. There's 33% of people that will like what you do no matter what you do because they like you. Yeah. But then the people that are the ones that you want to go help are the people sitting in the middle where they don't know, but they're ready to listen. They have no opinion about you yet because they're waiting, but it's up to you to convince those people or at least try to convince them that there is a better way, right?
Well, I think too, I lead with love. And, you know, having worked with some athletes, and actually I got a hopefully a keynote that I'm going to be doing for a local hockey team. And regardless of, you know, I can get super intense and I can yell and, you know, sometimes I curse and swear, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think people feel that I genuinely love them. And so when you're talking about getting people to kind of come over and being able to help them, like you said, you know, when you genuinely have someone's best interest at heart, they feel that and they know. And, you know, I'm not for everybody. I know that I can be super, a little aggressive. I'm an intense dude, but my heart is love. And my heart is just, you know, I want to see you successful. I want to see anyone that's listening to this or seeing this. I want them to be successful. And we collaborate, right? We like going back to the service thing, you're going to have tools and things that I may not know. And I'm going to have tools and things that you may not know. And then when we collaborate, you're going to build me and I'm going to build you. And just like your friend circle that you were talking about, you know, you become like those that you hang around. And my friend circle now, we're constantly building each other. You know, I build them and they build me. And I believe that was the point of life, right?
I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more with you. It's, So last week, I did a podcast similar to what we're doing right now. I don't like to do them over Zoom. I like to do them in person. I mean, there's something that's lost when you do it over Zoom.
Yeah.
But there was a guy, I didn't know the guy, I just found him online. I saw him on TV a few times doing interviews about how relevant sports are for youth. And for you guys, I don't know if you're closed in Ontario, but in Quebec, sports for youth is completely closed. They can't do any of the hockey. They can't play basketball. They can't play the sports that they've been competed in.
Right.
And as somebody that's grew up playing basketball and then competed as a martial artist, I cannot imagine what my life would have been without that competition aspect in my life.
100%.
And those kids that are the same age I was when I was competing too, they don't get to compete. So they marched in Quebec City in front of the parliament. We were between, they're saying about 25,000 people walking a 2.2 kilometer run around the parliament.
Mm. Yeah.
And the idea that I had, the point I'm trying to make, sorry, it's a long story, but the story I was, what I did is that I invited my buddy, which I'm at his place right now, invited my girlfriend, and I proposed to them to, here's a camera. And what I want to do is speak to the kids. I want to do interviews with the kids so that they can explain to people why they're walking, why they're here, and to thank the person that organized the walk, because it was a 16-year-old kid that organized the walk, and 25,000 people showed up.
Wow.
So I did a video. I did two videos. One video is just like showing what happened and blah, blah, with some music in the background. It's very cute.
Nice. But
the other one is interviews with kids. It is a fucking amazing.
I love
it. The love that I got from there, because I did it with no intentions except to show. I have a 45-second, the first clip is 45 seconds of people laughing. I literally went through an hour and a half of footage, almost 2 hours, and all I took is the portion where people had a smile on their face.
That's awesome.
So instead of showing the bad stuff, why people complaining, all I showed is the people smiling.
Nice.
That's awesome. Tomorrow, there's a... The reason I'm in Montreal today is that there's a protest tomorrow in Montreal, and people are going to be walking against the COVID restrictions that we have in Quebec. So my girlfriend and I had a funny idea. Do you remember Free Hugs? The guys in the U.S. that would always walk around.
Didn't they have something on their sweaters too, like Free Hugs? I don't know if it's the same guys or not, but I think I've seen it.
It comes from a very long time. There was a guy, a black guy in the U.S. that used to do that. He used to go to Trump rallies as a black guy because everybody thought Trump was racist, with free hugs, and he would hug big bikers and stuff. It was funny as hell. I love it. And
that's awesome.
So, because you're saying lead with love, right? So what I was thinking is, instead of, I want to go to the protest, I'm going to be there tomorrow, but I did not want to go there with, I want to go there with a pot. How can we encourage the people that are walking, but in a positive way without being negative about the restrictions? So what we figured, my girlfriend and I, what we figured we'd do, we're going to walk around with free hug, big cars, we'll write free hugs on it. We'll have my buddy walk around and film us as we hug people.
Nice.
So it's kind of we're protesting with love, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Crazy world, and how fast it changed, just wild.
Do you think we're lacking that? Because the whole point of the podcast that we're doing right now and all the podcasts that I record is to try to show the human aspects behind everyone, because we're all individuals, but I also believe that we're all one as well, right? If matter is never lost, it's only redistributed. Technically, that means that we all come from the same thing. So there's an inherent connections between all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that spirituality interconnects us all, right?
100%. Well, I think I'd even message you when we were talking a little bit, but you know, the spirit knows no time, no boundary, right? So why is it that you can be laying in bed or going about your day, and then all of a sudden, you know, somebody pops into your mind, right? And then you text them or you message them, and then, you know, they just mentioned back, oh, that was perfect timing. Thank you so much, right? And I'm a big believer in this. And my wife, I think, is even more intuitive than myself. You know, I think women are very more in touch with that. But you know, if someone comes to my mind, I'm either calling them or texting them. Hey, I love you. I miss you. How you doing? Whatever. And I tell you, not every time, Nico, but so many times I've had like it, either they were talking about me or they were looking for some encouragement or like the timing was just perfect. And so that's why I just so believe in, you know, like, you know, I told you, you know, I believe in God and my, you know, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, like that's my foundation. Right. And I just believe it so deeply in the spirit realm and connecting with people.
It's funny you say that because there's a guy that so I'm a Muay Thai instructor and I've been around Muay Thai for the past 15 years or so. And I know people around North America because I had the chance to compete in Canada and the US. And so at Christmas Day, there's a guy that I did a podcast with. He's a very spiritual guy. He's a life coach now, but he used to be a Muay Thai instructor. Closed his gym, moved from Toronto to Ottawa, and now he's a life coach. And out of the blue, haven't spoken to him in a couple of months, he sends me a song, a Christmas song, but it's I can't remember the name of the group, but it basically I just pop it on YouTube and I start crying. And it just hit me right in the feels. It's one of those things that my mother refused to see my sister and I for Christmas because of all the restrictions. I'll be honest with you. I haven't stopped seeing anybody that wants to see me. When you and I meet, no matter what the fuck the government tells me, I will hug you. I don't give a fuck.
Oh yeah.
I really don't. I've had dude bleed in my mouth, sweat in my eyes. I don't care. And so I was kind of hurt that I was hurt that my mother, not only is it Christmas, but it's her birthday. So it's the first time in my life that I do not spend Christmas with my mother. He sends me that and I'm just fucking crying. For the past 3 months, I've completely changed the type of music that I listen to. I only listen to music that is happy. A lot of Christian music, funny enough. And I discovered a guy that's called Zach Williams. You know the guy?
That name sounds familiar.
After this, go check out Zach Williams, I'm a Survivor, and the version that he recorded in front of, in prison, like in front of prisoners, like Johnny Cash style back in the days.
Okay, fair, yeah.
So yesterday, there's something, for some reason, I thought about this guy. As I'm listening to that song, I sent it to him. So I go on WhatsApp, I sent him the link. I'm like, hey, crew, I just thought about you. You need to listen to this. He responds to me this morning. He's like, dude, I was not feeling well. I was not in, I don't know what was going on, but I wasn't feeling. The song you sent me made me cry. I'm such in a great mood now. I cannot thank you enough. I needed this. I haven't spoken to this guy since Christmas. We're in March, almost 3 months ago. For some reason, I'm like, oh shit, Krumel would love this song. Send it to him. Coincidence? Awesome. No. He reached out somehow spiritually. I heard him and I'm like, this guy needs this song. How do you explain that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's you don't explain it. You just lean into it.
Oh, that's good. I like it. Don't explain it, just lean into it. That's good.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak? There's a subject I wanted to talk to you about because you keep on referring to religion and I'm really debating right now where this podcast is going to sit. Is it going to sit in my regular podcast or is it going to move to my spirit? I want to start a podcast that's just about my spiritual journey. So I've recorded two podcasts with a preacher, a Baptist preacher out of Ottawa, and he's fucking blowing my mind. Speaking to this man is amazing.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
That's awesome.
So I know you told me that both your parents are preachers and you grew up in the church. Explain that. That is amazing. I want to know.
Okay, so both my parents, basically, they didn't grow up in the church. I think, you know, anyone that's in Canada that's north of, you know, my parents are, you know, north of, you know, late 50s, early 60s. You know, anyone in that age group that's lived in Canada for essentially their whole life, there's, it's almost like someone has some experience with church, right? You know, so they didn't grow up in the church. They both then, you know, found Jesus, you know, had a big life change, found each other, went to ministerial school in Oklahoma, which, you know, I was, would have been, what was I, 4, 5, 6 at the time. And then, yeah, they just kind of pioneered churches through, came back to Ontario, pioneered churches throughout Ontario. And, you know, obviously I was in church right up until the point I was, late teens, I guess. And it was a huge part of my life. Very thankful for it. Very thankful for it. Yeah.
How is it to have two preachers as parents?
It was good, man. Like they teamed up, right? They ran it together. So they ran it, like I said, just as any team would, you know, he would feed off her, she would feed off him. So it was cool because then you could also connect with the congregation in different ways too, right? You have a, you know, a woman and a man. And so you can just kind of get two different flavors of speakers, right?
So they're obviously Protestant,
a type of Protestant? They would be, so it's called Word of Faith, but I think like they would be like Pentecostals, you know, maybe like similar to Baptist as well. Similar.
So, but they do fall under Protestants, right? Because just the simple fact that they can marry and yes. they can have kids. Yeah. So they have to be a type of Protestant.
Yes. Yes.
So how... To this day, because you keep, even now, you make quite a few references to Jesus Christ being your savior. So you, how do you explain that he is your savior? When did you accept him?
I was 8 and I was in Orillia. So, you know, it's, how do I explain this? It's just my everything. I don't know, man. Like I grew up, I'll put it like this. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ is just that. It's having a relationship. And, you know, you can, your relationship, any relationship that I've ever had, there's been good, there's been bad, there's been ugly. There's been times I wanted nothing to do with God. I went, did my party scene. I wanted nothing to do. I felt forsaken. I felt like he left me. You know, it was just nothing. And then I always ended up coming back, not because I was broken, but because I knew that there was something more. And, you know, I did a little bit of research on, you know, Muslims and Buddhists and, you know, all these things, and they're all looking for a higher power. They're all looking for, you know, something more, something greater than themselves, a creator. Right. And, for me, I just kept coming back to, you know, I don't know what happens when I die, but I know that we're a bundle of energy and that energy goes somewhere. Right. And I believe, you know, like I said, I believe in God. I believe that there, you know, I think that there is a heaven, but nobody actually truly knows. And so for me, it's just, I believe that there's a higher power, a creator, something that made us in the image and the likeness of himself to also create. And I think it stems from love. And that's why I like to, you know, I said earlier, I lead with love. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
No matter the religion you choose to follow, well, not everyone, but most of the religion you can choose to follow, love is always the main portion of that religion. If you look at the core of it, love is always the most important. Everything stems from love, it seems.
Yeah, like. And so what is love? Love is a relational word, right? It's explaining relationship. And so it, to me, and this is why my relationships are so important to me, you know, my friends, my family, my wife, you know, everybody is, I, you know, my God is whatever it is. It doesn't have to be Jesus, whatever you believe in. Like I'm not, you know, I'm a big believer and you got to do what works for you. Okay. Yep. But at the end of the day, you have to have a relationship. And for me, it's just that relationship, you know, when it's good, you know, you're communicating, you're experiencing love, you're experiencing gratefulness and thankfulness, and you're experiencing life on, you know, on a set of emotions. And I don't mean to shift gears here, but it all goes together is, you know, your life is really summarized by the quality of the emotions that you're experiencing. Right. And you can be experiencing bad emotions, which is like, you know, worry, depression, anxiety, fear, or you can experience good emotions, which is happiness, excitement, you know, fulfillment, ecstasy, thankfulness, gratefulness. And so in order to live a better life, right, and have better relationships, you have to have better emotions. And those emotions start with yourself. I know this is a long story, but those emotions start with yourself, which is you cannot have a proper relationship with other people until you have a relationship with yourself, right? And every relationship that you have moving forward will be dependent on, you know, the level and the relationship that you have with yourself, right?
I couldn't agree more. There's a, have you ever heard, have you ever read the book Life After Life?
I have not. Heard?
It's an old book. Well, an old, considering I read books that are 400 years old. This is not an old book, but it's like 1970s, some along those lines.
Okay.
And it was an MD. It's a doctor that, that wrote it. I cannot remember what the name of the person is, but basically it's one of the first books that talks about near-death experiences. Mm. So he basically goes around, the whole book is about 200 pages long, it's an easy read, very easy to read, but it's very touching. Basically, he just puts things in context and then uses stories that were told to him, talking about near-death experiences. And he says something at the end that, in conclusion, that he believes that from all, like, I think he spoke to like 150 to 200 people, took like 10 years or more to write the book. And he says that the main two things that comes out of their near-death experiences is that they meet something. They meet something that's made out of light. And most of them were put on the spot where they saw their life flash. So they saw an entity that spoke about their life that wasn't judging what was right but what was wrong, but just showing to you what your life was. And every single one of them basically comes back with the same message, saying that there's two things in life that you need to do. One is to love as much as you can, and to learn as much as you can. So the two things that are the most important in life is love and knowledge.
So every, I don't know, maybe 2-3 times a year, I'll go walk the graveyard. And I look at, you know,
are you looking for new spots to bury cadavers, or you're actually just like a great spot, right?
Yeah. Bury some skeletons in the closet. No, it's but no, for real, I just I walk and I look at people's names on the tombstone, and I look at some of their ages, and, you know, you see someone, you know, 80, 90, like, cool, they lived a good life. And then you see someone who's 50, you know, also older than me. I'm 33. I'll be 34 this summer. And then you see someone who's 40 and you're like, oh, that was cut definitely a bit short. And then at the time I saw somebody, this was last year. So I saw someone that was 32. So same age as me at the time. I'm like, that guy's gone. Like, that dude no longer can make an impact on this life. And so I find that, you know, going to the graveyard for me, it just re-centers me to realize I have one shot at this life, okay, to make an impact and help those, you know, that are younger than me or older than me, but help those around me. Because guess what? You and I, we're going to die. Right. At the end of the day, there's been guys that have been, you know, greater, more successful, or had more money than us, made more impact than us. And those motherfuckers are gone. They're dead.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so it just realized to me that I never want to live a life that is not authentic and genuine to myself. That's one. And two, I am so thankful every day that I can wake up and open my eyes. And it sounds, you know, kind of silly. It sounds simplistic, but it really is, because I have lost sleep over money. I've had financial struggle. I've, you know, like I said, talked about earlier, was just worry, anxiety, fear, and just experiencing really shitty emotions. And when I go to the graveyard, it reminds me that I'm not going to always be physically here. And I only have a certain amount of time to express my love and my, you know, what's, you know, my real passions and who I am as a person in service of other people. And so I wrote a Facebook post or an Instagram post there the other day, is I'm obsessed with where I'm going, and there is nothing, my life now is committed in the service of other people. That is what I'm here for. And you know, when you can start to connect, and then here's another thing is I believe that I've got a pretty good gift of communication, right?
Yeah, you're okay.
And it comes and goes. but I want to connect people with what's on the inside of them. And so like when I see people, I don't just see, you know, oh, they do something stupid or they make a silly mistake. Why are they making those mistakes? Why are they not happy with themselves? Why are they being self-destructive? Why aren't they, you know, committed to their dreams? Why don't they have a vision? You know, and it's connecting people with them, with their inner self, so that they can experience life on a new level. And I know I just kind of, you know, got way off subject there, but I just, it's, you know, life and death. And I think that's the irony. You know, a friend of mine actually asked me on a conversation the other day was, if you could live forever, would you? And it totally took me off guard because I've never had that thought before. But then I actually genuinely thought about it. I would live longer, yes, but I don't want to live forever. And the reason for that is because I believe what gives life such value is that it has an expiration date. Right?
It was I don't remember where I saw that from or where I read it from, but in old Greece, there was a saying that gods were jealous of humans because humans could die. So every experience that they had was more enjoyable, because if you realize that there's only a certain amount of time that you have, you need to live in the moment. And not only that, but all those little things, you need to cherish them more, because you never know when the last experience, your last, today could be my last day for all I know. You 100%. never know.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you know, man, like, start to breaking it down. Like, let's say, for example, you see your parents once a month. Okay, so you see your parents 12 times a year, right? Let's say they live for another 10 years.
Yep, 120 times.
You're only going to see them for another 120 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it sounds weird, but it for me, it made me cherish, you know, even my dog. I'm a huge dog lover. Like, I'm animal lover in general, but my dog, like Xena, oh, we have two. We have Xena and Rue. But Xena
is, she was kind of hot, huh?
Is that what it is? They're always hot, aren't they? Being a princess warrior, right? But man, it's just that dog, she's my first female dog. I always had male dogs. She's my first female dog. And I am so unbelievably connected to that dog. And I realized that she, you know, I don't think that children, I don't think that children should ever die before their parents. But you being an animal lover, you understand that you are going to outlive your dogs, right? Mm-hmm. And
hopefully, yes.
Yeah,
hopefully,
I know, yes. Right?
I really, really hope so.
I just look at her. I just look at that dog, and I cherish my moments with her, because I realize that she's not going to live as long as me, right? And even when we go on our daily walks, and just there's times when she's sitting on the couch, I just look at her and I cherish her. And that, you know, you actually create a mind of thankfulness and gratefulness. And your brain is like, you know, it's kind of like water running down a hill. You know how you get the rain ruts, right? And you get a rain rut from water running down a hill. And the more that the water runs down the hill, the more it's apt to go in that rain rut. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Your brain's the same way. So when you cultivate like thankfulness and gratefulness and happiness, right, you actually begin to experience those emotions more and more and more, right? And so it's just you create the life that you want to live based on, you know, the thoughts that you think and the emotions that you experience. And so I'm just so thankful. I guess what I was getting at was I'm creating a life of thankfulness and gratefulness. And, you know, I'm just on a mission to be genuinely and authentically myself.
There's this whole podcast idea. I think I'm done. I was calculating it this morning. I think I have 45 published podcasts, probably have another 10 that are recorded. And I've been doing this since November.
Wow.
Since October or November, somewhere. I recorded my first one end of September. So October, November is the first time I released one. And this was a brainchild that I got because of COVID. Because I'm like, what the hell can I do? I work from home. Mm-hmm. I can't teach martial art right now. What can I do? Mm-hmm. And since then, it has made me realize that the job that I do is not important. I'm not bringing, you know, I'm not scared of death. I've always been the type of guy that's lived for experience since I can remember. I don't question it. If I feel like doing something, as smart or stupid that idea can be, I'm just fucking doing it. I don't care. I live for experiences. But then it made me realize that my job is, I'm not saving lives. I'm making a company operate better. They make more money at the end of the year. I make their process simpler. But am I really changing lives?
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the, if not the most powerful realizations I've had in my life, to see that I am not contributing the way that I should contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was always preventing myself from being myself because I'm not like other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the day that I started to think, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to be myself 100% of the time. And you don't like me, that's fine. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. But my job, as you said, is to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you help people if you're not yourself?
100%. It's not genuine. It's not real. And people will see through it too, right? If you're not, you know, who you say you are, then, you know, people will see through that, you know, especially now with, you know, how, you know, social is, you know, it's all over, right? People broadcast their life, right?
Yeah. It's very fake, though, but people see it. You're absolutely right. I think people can tell right away that if you're fake or not. Like deep down, they know.
Well, especially when they meet you, right? And it's funny because I get such a kick out of social media because I've had friends and they would post, you know, oh, I love you. Can't wait to see you, baby. Blah, blah. Like just all this lovey-dovey stuff. And, you know, this is going back several years. And my marriage is in a bit of a tough spot at the time. And I looked at their marriage on social only, okay? And I'm like, man, I wish my marriage was like that. Then they got quiet and month or 2 months go by, nothing on there, and they're getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And it kind of triggered in me. It's just like, man, I was so busy comparing myself to somebody else's highlight reel. And I said, you know what? I am done looking at other people. I'm going to just focus on myself and my marriage and getting it right. And I post a lot on social now, like encouraging stuff and just, you know, being myself, but I don't post stuff that's not authentically me on social. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know if you saw the one, there was a young couple and they were at a Leafs game and the girl goes up to put like a selfie. And he like leans in and he smiles for the selfie. And then as soon as the selfie's over, he's like,
yeah,
and he's pissed. Right. And it's just like, man, that's just so social right these days, like social media, you know? And I think there's a big need for leaders to bring back authenticity, you know, and leading by example, leading with love. And, you know, I want to set the tone, you know, for me personally, I want to change the way that people do business. You know, there's some complete assholes in the business world, just to be frank. And, you know, you can do business deals and you can still be a kind person. You don't have to be a dickhead.
That's another thought that I've had over the past few months. How the companies are treating their employees in the business world now. You are a simple commodity to be replaced. When the bottom line of an Excel spreadsheet says that you make too much and it would be cheaper for us to replace you, get rid of you, send you packing with a package and hire somebody for cheaper, or just get rid of your position altogether. Because at the end of the day, the bottom line says that we would make more money doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a guy recently that young guy, maybe 24. I'm blessed that I have a couple of them. I have two guys in their early 20s that always come up to me with questions that they don't feel that they can ask their parents, for example. So I'm more than happy. I want to be that person. So I'm so happy when they do ask. And one of them was asking about job. We've been talking for months. He wants to get out of the job. I work with him. Well, I used to work with him until this week, but he wanted to work in the field that he studied in, but it's a big change, right? And I'm just telling him, I'm like, dude, do you. Yeah. If the company you work for right now tells you that you're not bringing them the numbers that you should, they'll fucking get rid of you. They don't care. Mm-hmm. You're a number. Mm-hmm. So do you.
Yeah.
You feel that you can be happier doing something else, just fucking do it.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%.
How do you change, though, that massive corporation mentality to treat? Because they're all going to do their, most companies now are exactly like what you see on social media. When the camera's running, everybody's smiling. Oh, we love we love our employees. Oh, aren't they awesome? Behind closed door, they don't give a fuck about their employees. They care about the bottom, like call bullshit, bullshit.
Yeah.
They want the bottom. Man, I hope my nobody at my company listens to this. But it's still the way I feel, though. I still feel that you're replaceable. And how can you feel totally content with yourself if in the bottom of your heart, you know that in a heartbeat, they'll get rid of you, if that makes more sense to them?
Yeah, well, I can't speak to, you know, all corporations, because, you know, I think that there are some that genuinely, you know, may have started in caring for people and providing a living.
May started. Yes.
Yes. And, you know, again, I can't speak to all of them because I don't know. The companies that I've worked with and the companies that I've been employed with, some of them, I've seen the owner sacrifice his pay and take money out of his savings to float payroll. And, you know, genuinely cares about his employees. And, you know, that to me, I've worked for, you know, I helped grow a smaller company, but also I've worked for, you know, for the most part, smaller companies. And I like that because since day one, I've always liked the connection I've been able to have with the owners, right, of these companies. And I've never worked for a big, you know, huge corporation where I was just a number. So I can't really speak to that. But I do know the companies that appreciated me and the companies that did not, right? And the companies that appreciated me, I worked way harder for them than I did for the company. You know, I shouldn't say that because, you know, I believe that, you know, I worked hard no matter what, but I was a lot happier working the extra hours for someone that I knew appreciated.
Yeah, you don't need to be motivated either. Like the motivation is just there because you know your work's appreciated.
It is, totally. And so for me, like, you know, talking to some of, you know, guys that own businesses, it's, you know, developing a relationship with your employees. You know, it's creating it so that your employees are so fiercely loyal to you. But how do you gain that? How do you gain loyalty from somebody? You gain loyalty from somebody by being loyal back. And when you meet someone and you know that they've got your best interest at heart, you'll go over the moon for them. You'll do whatever it takes. Because they, you know, it's like a trust bank. You build trust. Every single person that you ever meet, you know, it's like you're depositing trust. You're depositing trust, right? Mm. And trust is a funny thing because, you know, you can make withdrawals and you can make deposits. And if you withdraw more trust than you deposit, then the relationship is destined to fail. And so often what happens is people are in a job and, you know, they're there for the money and that's it. They're there to survive. Mm. They're not there to thrive. Yeah. And, you know, I find that employers I see a lot is people aren't happy because the employers aren't depositing into their employees. They're not saying, hey, well, how can I serve you? What can I do better for you? What's missing? And the higher company gets, I've seen this, is the higher company gets, the more the owner gets removed from the day-to-day happenings. And so in order to create communication across a company is you have to have unity all the way down. And guess what? There's, you know, not everyone's going to be, you know, we'll say, you know, a professional athlete, you know, not everyone's going to be a Connor McDavid, but guess what? In hockey, how do teams win? They win by playing their position. The goalie doesn't play center. Center doesn't play, you know, the wings don't play defense. You know, it's the same in any sport, in football. There's a quarterback. Everyone has and is built for different positions. And when you start to operate in your, what I believe is your God-given gift and your talents and your unique abilities, that's when happiness starts to happen. That's when you can start to build a team. That's when you can connect with people. That's where, you know, the sweet spot is to really building a successful company and a company with good core cultures that I believe are rooted in love. And, you know, one of my companies that I'm currently building, you know, obviously Jamie Mason Coaching is kind of attached to me, but my other companies, I want to build it, but I want to build it for the employees. I want to build it so people can have a financial future.
Wow. Are you trying to say that you care?
Man.
How dare you say such things?
I think you can just see I'm passionate about it. I just speak from my heart. And, you know, we've talked, you know, I just talk like it's to anybody, like you're a brother or you're a sister. Like, I just so genuinely care about people's success, physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually, you know?
So it's been probably, we've probably been running for about 45 minutes or so, give or take. When I speak to somebody for the first time on a podcast, I always ask them the same question. So I'm going to ask you the same question. If you had the chance to speak to your 14-year-old self, what would you tell them? What would you tell that skinny little guy? I'm guessing you were skinny. I don't know, but.
I was, yeah.
I don't know why, but I can see it.
I've always had the skinny gene, and I know some people curse me for it, but, you know, it's a little side note. I've always, for so long, I've been so self-conscious of being skinny, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, even in my career, I was like 170 pounds at 6'1", 6'2". And it really, you know, it messed with me, you know? And just like you can have self-confidence for being overweight, you can be self-conscious for being underweight. Yep. But looking back at my 14-year-old self, oh, man. Get a mentor. That would be, we get the right mentor in my life. Invest sooner. Like, invest my money in the right places sooner. And, oh, there's so many. Read more. Read self-development books. Read books that are going to enlighten your thinking. And you know what? Honestly, I'm gonna cry. Holy smokes! If I could go back, I would just hug myself. I'm just picturing myself at that age, and I would hug myself. I'd just tell myself everything's gonna be okay, because I have lost sleep and I have been close to suicide and just in really dark places in my life. And so, if I could just go back and tell myself that it's gonna be okay, that would That's what I tell myself. Woo, that's a good one. Yeah, it's going to be okay. Yeah,
good for you. Anything you want to add? Because I got a feeling this is going to be the first of many. So anything,
buddy,
you want to?
It's we're kindred spirits. I see, you know, a partnership, but I see your heart for people, man. And that's what I'm most excited. I was so excited for us to be able to actually connect and do this. I know we both wanted to do it in person, but it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before we can hook up and have a drink, smoke a cigar together. But buddy, I love what you're doing. Don't stop, because there's young men that are waiting on you. There's adults, there's people that are waiting on you to fulfill your destiny. And I'm just so happy to be, you know, in your life now. I'm going to be a part of it and to be able to encourage each other. And anybody that's, you know, watching or listening to this, you know, we're here for you. I'm here for you. Nico's here for you. You know, we've been to some dark spots in our life, and we want to see you fulfill your dreams, your passions, your visions, your desires. We want to see you successful. And dude, I'm excited where this is going to go.
No, I'm the one that's going to cry. I'm going to have to hold that shit in. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. We live a beautiful life, my man.
Can't disagree with that, man. It's beautiful. I'm looking outside. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. It's gorgeous. Not a cloud in the sky here, man. It's absolutely beautiful out.
It's like 10 degrees out.
Yep.
I'm off today. I don't have anything else to do. I'm literally going to, my girlfriend lives in a small town. I'm going to go see her. I'm going to walk around with a camera and try to speak to people. I want people to just talk to me. It's a beautiful day. I just want them to share thoughts with a happy person.
Awesome. That's good,
that's my day to day, man. Love it.
That sounds like a good one. Yeah. Connecting with people.
I agree. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for being part of this, man.
Dude, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's an honor, and I'm stoked. I'm excited.